March 11th, 2015, the Board of Directors meeting. Celia, can I ask you for a roll call, please?
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Director Angelo's not feeling well tonight. She isn't able to join us.
So we'll send our thoughts to her. Get well.
We certainly will. Can we do a flag salute? Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Okay, on to the agenda review. Is there anybody who would like to switch things around, add things?
President Lucy?
Yes.
For our item number 9B, review and approval of cash disbursements, our Secretary Ruiz has an addition to that, which I'll let her cover. As a result of that addition, which is also available for the public, the recommendation for the consent agenda would be modified to recommend it for approval as modified.
Okay.
So there's an amendment to the AP, and it's a check to Rabobank for $15,625.63.
And that's for the down payment on the truck, which your board has previously approved the purchase and the financing with Rabobank. But because we have the truck delivered last week, we now have to provide the down payment.
All right. So would that be fair enough to call that 9B attachment? So when we make a motion, it includes the 9B attachment, or no?
Certainly, or as modified.
Or as modified, very well. Okay.
I approve we approve the agenda as modified.
Great. Do we have a second on that?
Yes. I'll second.
So you want to do roll call on that, honey?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, so we'll add that. We'll hear a public comment right now for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and at your last regular board meeting, Vice President White gave a presentation about the Five Cities Fire Authority, as she normally does. I think we're all concerned about the funding for Five Cities Fire Authority. She explained that there was a grant application in the works. I have since learned that that grant application did not get submitted, all good reasons. But that grant application was for personnel, and where, yes, you need more firefighters, engineers, captains, whatever. One thing that was very apparent during the assessment district in the campaign was that you are severely lacking funds for equipment and apparatus. So that SAFER grant would not have cured that problem. Your chief is now 3 months on the job, and when interviewed by the local press at the time of taking his position, he said he had a plan for the Five Cities Fire Authority, but that it wasn't ready for prime time. 3 months in, I'm looking for the plan. He is on a six-month probationary period, and I think the plan, whatever it is, the financial plan to bring the authority through its crisis should be unveiled at some point here in the near future. The next board meeting for Five Cities Fire Authority is a special meeting. They've changed the date from the regular Friday to Wednesday, March 18th at 3 p.m., so I think we'll all be there for that, or some of us. And then I wanted to shift gears a little bit to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and I understand that the settlement has been rejected, and I'm wondering if the public can see what was offered, and then what happens now? Are we continuing to press forward with litigation, or do we just stop and pay the fine and try to move on? I think these are some really hard questions that need some thorough vetting. I think each of your boards and the city councils all need to talk about what is the next step for South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
Thank you. Anybody else like to do public comment? And Director White is an active member on the Five Cities Fire Authority. She'll give a complete update. Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to do public comment? Hearing none, I'm going to move the agenda right along. Since it is spring, so we spring forward. Okay, special presentations. Hearing none, reports. Okay, so we don't have any sheriffs in town. Karen, how about you?
Yes, I have a report for the fire department from the chief. He will be here at our next meeting on the 25th of March to present a, quote, fire chief's 90-day observations, which he calls a state of the art message, a state of the department message, and I can also read one of the activities we recently had was a vegetation fire in Arroyo Grande, where someone decided on a Sunday to remove a stump by setting it on fire and set the backyard on fire, which became a full-fledged fire, vegetation fire. And there was no injuries, no significant personal property loss, but there will be a cost recovery action. And the other things, the fire department's been involved in several different things. A fundraising dinner for the Chamber of Commerce, some speaking programs. And for the month, they've responded to 78 calls since between the 1st and 11th of March. And Station 3 in Oceano has responded to no fires, 20 EMS calls, 3 service calls. Total of the fire calls were 4. There was 52 EMS calls in that 10-day period. There was also 10 EMS calls in automatic mutual aid and 30 other service calls on automatic mutual aid. So 51% of the calls responded were to the CDF area. And for the year, we've had, so far since until the 11th, we've had 13 fires, 414 EMS calls, 16 hazardous conditions, 120 service calls, and 19 false alarms. So they're plenty busy. That's 582 calls in less than 3 months.
So, Karen, can I ask you a quick question? So you're saying that 51% of our calls are going
for
to
that
cover
period.
California Fire?
Yeah, actually, since the start of the year, let's use that as a better figure.
Okay, so 90 days.
Yeah, the last, give or take, 80 days, 7.2% of the calls have been mutual aid. Mm.
So hopefully the chief will address doing another department's work, basically.
Well, and that does not include the beach, because Five Cities Fire Authority is no longer going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
The beach calls are being responded to by CAL FIRE that's out of the Napomo Station up by the Phillips Petroleum Plant.
So do you know if the up on the Mesa, the CAL FIRE up there has increased their staffing?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, that'd be a question for the chief, because if they haven't increased their staffing, they picked up the beach. that's kind of throwing their work over into our fire authority. But those are all good questions for the chief.
Yeah, it does. If they're out of position, then we would respond upon on the Mesa with the Roy Grandy truck and maybe the Oceano truck as well. Mm. Yeah. I mean, everybody moves and shifts. That's the name of the game. That's why they call it a mutual aid.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Blackburn.
President Lucy? No. We kind of mixed a little bit here because of
I'm sorry.
Director White. So at this point, 7C, Mr. Maricino on the OCSD operations.
I was giving Mr. Lieberman's report.
Gosh, that's my first mistake. Okay, Tony, I apologize about that.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino.
Hi, Tony.
Lopez Lake is currently at 39.7% full.
Wait. You can't start there. You have big news.
We did get the truck delivered last week, as you all seen.
Yes.
Which is a great thing, good thing. All right.
Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
How is it working out?
Working out fantastic.
Got it all dirty and dented already?
Absolutely not. I'm sorry I didn't take your advice and get a ball peen hammer and put the first dent in it yet. We will.
Maybe I'll wait for this truck. I don't know if everybody from the audience knows for, 6-8 months, it seems like.
Quite a while.
Yeah,
yes.
Quite a while.
181 days.
They breached. It was supposed to be delivered within 180, so it was quite a while. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
Go ahead.
We had no SSOs last month. We had 15 work orders, 11 USAs. We had 13 customer service calls. We did a SSMP audit. We attended an SSO webinar for the field staff. We're still continuing to work on wells 5 and 8, doing fire hydrant maintenance. That's pretty much everything for the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, taking care of the yard and getting everything ready.
And it's nice having somebody out there watching the streets for debris that are getting in the way. And so,
yes,
yeah, I know that you guys, as you see it, you call it in, and we do appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. So, General Manager Ogren, can we make sure that the Five Cities Fire Authority is put under, I don't know if it'd be special presentations, but.
Certainly for next meeting and Mr. Chief Lieberman's 90-day update, yes.
Correct. Thank you. All right. Moving right along. Director Angelo and I, I'll wait and catch that under another report. Jennifer, do you want to start with your reports?
Actually, don't have any for this time. Thank you.
You don't want to do the USDA? The annual meeting.
Oh, the CSDA?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I think you're... we did attend the CSDA annual meeting, and it was a nice time, and I'm trying to think. That was a while ago. They did do the election of officers, and Marshall did stay as president, as I think most of the officers did stay. They were reelected. So they did a presentation on energy watch program that the county is doing in conjunction with the CSDs. So that is my report.
It was a really pleasant night. Okay. Matthew.
I appeared last week at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. The single business item is the creation of a review board for the RFP process to designate a firm to conduct the management review. What this is the a review of past practices for a number of items, including best management practices. There is an RFP out. There was some discussion about what citizen involvement would be, and I think there's some that have a vision that it's only part of the awarding of the RFP.
for this overview. I think my vision is to have citizens involved in that particular process. But this will be taken up again next week at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. That'll be Wednesday, 6 o'clock at Aurora Grande City Hall.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I received a phone call late Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to speak to you about it, regarding an emergency or a special meeting or something to that effect. I unfortunately couldn't, you know.
Sure.
I was on my way out the door to another engagement, but
there was a...
I just couldn't imagine what would be so special. I'm sorry.
There was a special meeting that was scheduled for Monday night. It was scheduled late Friday or something. I don't know exactly what time it was scheduled, but it was scheduled for 6 o'clock Monday night. Of course, Mayor Scholes couldn't make it, I assume, because they have a 6:30 Grover Beach City Council meeting. And I always have a Monday evening obligation, and so I was not available to go to that as well, so it was canceled.
Okay, thank you. Was it urgent?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll hear about it in the newspaper.
It wasn't an emergency meeting, so it was listed as a special meeting. So, anyway, well, I assume we'll take that up next Wednesday.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Karen, do you have anything to report on beyond fire?
No.
I will say, though, that nobody called to clear the date prior to it being scheduled. So,
well, I was a little surprised because I didn't get any notices. Nothing came across my email or anything.
Right.
So I was actually a little surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee. There was a lot of discussion on the makeup of the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin Special Service District, which is to be formed by 2017. And so there was discussion on the makeup of that and fair representation and the county's stats on where we are with rainfall and reservoir levels. And then I attended the CSDA with Jennifer and our representative from Sacramento, Cacho, did receive an award.
Thank you. I did forget that.
Which was...
Legislator of the Year.
Legislator of the Year, which is nice to see somebody who can work on both sides of the aisle. It's actually quite refreshing. I love the middle of the road party. and that was the two main meetings. And then, of course, our special meeting last week regarding the increase in the 218, which Mr. Ogden will speak more about, and talking about that, which was kicked off at their last meeting. We did pretty extensive update on how that will impact different households. So that was my nice, busy week.
I thought it was great that Cacho got that. He's been it's terming out, unfortunately, and he's been a very good assemblyman for our district.
And hopefully he'll go to a federal level. Well, you could teach him about the Constitution, at least.
Hopefully Cacho finds fulfillment whatever he does. That's all.
Cacho told me he wants to come home and wash windshields at his service station.
Yeah, relax for a while.
Okay. So, has everybody had a chance to review the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion. Yes, let's do public comment on the consent agenda. Public comment on the consent agenda. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
President Lucy, if we could, if the motion maker and the second would entertain as modified.
Oh, as modified. There is a addendum to the cash disbursements because of the truck.
It's a good thing you're here tonight, Mr. Ogden.
Somebody's paying attention. Thank you. All right, I'll move to approve as modified.
And I second as modified.
Okay.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, it passes. Let's go to our business items. Okay. Let's take public comment on business items that are on the agenda, special presentations, outside committees, reports. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and just want to piggyback on some of what I heard in the reports. You are in a mutual aid and cooperative agreement between Cal Fire and Five Cities Fire, and they respond into your area not quite as much as you do respond to theirs, but it's a give and take, and the two agencies shouldn't be pit against each other. And it sounds like from the comments made here, you're competitive, and it's not about being competitive. There's one goal, and it's to serve the public. And all those staff on those trucks do their best to get to whoever emergency is needed at whatever they're called. So I really don't like the tone of some of the discussion at the dais. With regard to the RFP at the Sanitation District for the management audit, I'm hopeful that when this comes back, that someone will analyze how 57 boxes of files left that district, and some of which was purged and gutted without any authority. Mr. Wallace didn't work for the district anymore as its administrator. He had no right to destroy public records. With regard to your items under 10A, B, and C, I wish I could participate as Mr. Ogren gives each staff report, because I really can't follow along at this point until I hear what he has to say and how he underscores the items that come up as they do. I noticed at your last regular meeting you were much more flexible with the public and let Mr. Ogren give a report, and the public was invited to the podium, and then you closed the public comment and had your deliberations. I'm not afforded that same luxury. So I want to watch what you do with consideration for the 7 acre feet of water outside of Avila Beach. I will thank you at this time for your pledge not to break the Brown Act on item 10B. And you did receive some communications about 10C as it relates to recycled water in the Paso Robles Basin. Mr. Edwards sent you an email and asked you to pay as much attention to recycled water in your own district. Just a month ago, the South County Sanitation District entered into a feasibility study spending $40,000. What Mr. Ogren did not attach with this was the
time's
actual
up.
Feasibility study on page 39 of the PDF,
okay,
in the staff
goodness.
Report. And it has a scalping plant in your district.
Thank you.
A sewer plant
to
be built
Tacker.
At the front of your district at Highway 1 and the Pike.
Please,
is there
please
any other
respect
public
our
comment?
Rules as well. Hello, sir. Can I get your name, please, for the record?
Good evening. My name is Dennis Schmidt with Granite Ridge Engineering. I'm here on behalf of item 10A. A request to
President Lucy.
Can I? Are you part of the presentation, sir?
I'm here to
yes.
be part of it.
Okay,
I didn't know
so
if I needed
we're
to speak
do
now
public
or later.
Comment right now.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is 3 minutes, or six total, and then we're going to probably hand the floor over to you, Mr. Ogren.
Yeah. What my recommendation on business items today would be. Because 10A is structured as more of a general discussion, where Mr. Schmidt is going to be discussing, you know, the request and everything, and then we're going to have some open dialogue with your board, I would recommend on that item that once your board has concluded its open dialogue to take public comment,
okay.
Since this is a very open item. On items 10B and 10C, we don't really anticipate any real staff discussion above what's included in the agenda item. But on 10A, it is an open dialogue item. And so
would it be fair to put Just for my records, just put public comment under 10A or
Certainly that's
questions.
When,
just,
yes.
Just leave it as questions. Yeah. Okay. So
so then I'll wait for the presentation and then speak after that or at
yes.
that time?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. Which will probably
yeah,
be cause... in about 60 seconds.
Okay, thank you, President.
Okay, great. And can I back up 1 minute? I heard what somebody in the audience had mentioned, not appreciating the tone of the questions regarding the Five Cities Fire Authority. Can I ask that staff find where the when and where the Cal Fire Community Advisory Board is, where it's held and stuff, so that I can attend and be a little bit more informed on the operations of Cal Fire versus just the Five Cities Fire Authority?
Certainly.
Thank
I have
you.
A...
That way I have a clear understanding of the different operations. Okay. So is there more, is there any other public comment?
Okay. Good evening. My name is Beatrice Spencer. I'm an Arroyo Grande resident. This is my first OCSD meeting.
Welcome.
Thank you. With regards to the, well, let me just say, in December of 2010, our sanitation district experienced a failure resulting in a raw sewage spill determined later to be the result of mismanagement by John Wallace of the Wallace Group. In May of 2012, the Sanitation District Board comprised of Oceano's Matt Guerrero, Grover Beach Councilman Bill Nichols, and former Arroyo Grande Mayor Tony Ferrara rejected the state's offer of $775,000 to settle. The proposed settlement consisted of a $400,000 fine and $375,000 to be spent on plant upgrades. This timeline from John Wallace outlines a strategy to delay, stall, and continue fighting until the matter is settled in Superior Court years down the road. Item 17 states that the fine would be in the range of $951,478 to $1.8 million if the board does not accept the initial $775,000 offer. Yet rather than settle a suit they knew they had no chance of winning, Ferrara and the others voted in November of 2014 to file a lawsuit against the state. It is estimated that ratepayers have paid in excess of $750,000 to Wallace's engineering firm and lawyers to fight a fight they knew they would not win. For months now, for 4 months, ratepayers have been attending sanitation district meetings and asking the new board to drop the lawsuit and negotiate a settlement for fine. Last month alone, our district spent $16,000 in legal fees. Mayor Hill has been proactive and responsive. There was to be a closed session meeting Monday night, with one item on the agenda, current litigation. We were very disappointed when Grover Beach Mayor John Scholes, Oceana Representative Matt Guerrero claimed they could not attend. Unbelievably, neither could Mayor Scholes alternate Barbara Nichols or Mary Lucy, president of the OCSD. Something is wrong. District Council Mike Seitz took more than 2 months to offer a settlement to the state, and last week he stated the offer was not accepted. He provided no explanation or further information. Many are hoping that Mayor Hill can elaborate on why the closed session was requested and what we as ratepayers can do to help bring this matter to a swift conclusion. I will be contacting friends in Grover Beach and Oceano, urging them to attend meetings and asking them to contact Mayor Scholes and Matt Guerrero. There has been almost no action since the new board was appointed. We need to stop paying attorney fees and begin using precious funds to improve the plant with redundancy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer.
President Lucy?
Yes.
With all due respect to the speaker, of course, a couple things I want to point out is that even though we have representatives of your board who sit on the Senate, so those are some Brown Act compliance issues, which is that what I have been told and what I have therefore reason to believe is that all of those notifications didn't go out to alternates.
No, I received nothing.
Yeah, so all the board members have to get at 24-hour in advance notice. And again, in terms of the jurisdiction of OCSD, the sanitation district is a separate legal entity from your board.
That's correct. So we don't really have any authority but to keep it on our agenda and keep it in our foresights. But I received a call from Miss Debbie Peterson late Sunday afternoon when I was on my way out the door. That's the only way I knew that anything was occurring, and I hadn't spoke to Mr. Guerrero. But thank you for pointing that out. It definitely is on, I know that it's on my radar, and I can't speak for the other board members, but I'm sure it's on Mr. Guerrero's as well as everybody else here at the board. So any other public comment?
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin, and I am a Five Cities resident. Thank you, Pavel, for letting us know what you aren't sure about. I appreciate that. I wanted to talk about the South County Sanitation District and the lack of a quorum in order to hold a meeting last Monday, this current Monday. I've attended many OCSD meetings, and I've heard the reports out of the sessions regarding how the Sand District is doing. It was great to learn about Sweet and Sweeney from Matt's various reports over the time. But the apt word here is sanitation. It's a very sanitary report that you provide. It doesn't give to the tone and tenor of what the meetings really hold to happen. Four people had the opportunity to make a quorum the other day: Matt Guerrero, Mary Lucy, John Scholes, or Barbara Nichols. Not one of four people could make it. I don't think that that's a very good representation for what you are elected to do. While it may not be under your purview, somehow you're determining this tonight out of the blue, it's on your agenda. So I feel that it's something that could be spoken to under items within your purview. Please stop wasting the ratepayers' money. Please stop blocking progress. Please stop funding lawyers and litigation with ratepayer dollars. Start making a difference. Start listening to the ratepayers and close this chapter. Make a change. Do something already besides stonewalling. And as I just saw with this agenda issue and when public can talk and when they can.
Put on that board and that's it. So,
President Lucy, again, if legal counsel Minnery can just make sure to clarify the requirements of the Brown Act, because
Please do.
You weren't notified as an alternative, then again, I'll turn it over to legal counsel.
Right. And it's just a
And it's sad to be penalized for not knowing something or be expected to know it.
Right. And so obviously, because we have members of Oceano on the Sand District, and it's coming out tonight that there's frustration in the public with this particular issue, but we have no way to know from where we sit right now today about how the noticing was done. And it was a special meeting, and obviously just 24-hour notice to the public on that. So if you weren't notified in time, you can't be expected to go. And so I think it's the public should at least keep that in mind with this particular complaint.
But what I do want the public to know is that many of us are watching this and trying to move this along as swiftly as possible without more problems down the road. So it's not a matter of ratepayers versus the people who sit at the dais. It really isn't, because we're all the same.
Well, and with respect to the tone of the public comment about directing to your board, again, does not have that jurisdiction. Obviously, we all have a vested interest in the community. With respect to a presentation that's not agendized, I'm not sure what the referral there was, but Mr. Schmidt will be speaking on the idea on item 10A, which is on the agenda.
That's right.
Ms. Lucy, I would just follow up that since you did determine that you were going to have public comment about on item A, after that, Mr. Schmidt has an opportunity to talk. I would just open it up to anybody who has comment at that point on that issue.
Correct.
Just to be fair to everyone.
Yes, and we will take questions after we hear 10A, but it will be questions directed towards this item. I won't entertain anything else. Do we have any more public comment? All right, hearing none, we're going to move right along. All right, 10A. Would you like to introduce this, Mr. Ogren?
Certainly. Real quick introduction. At the last board, regularly scheduled board meeting, included in correspondence is the correspondence that is now included in item 10A. Your board asked me to put this on a future agenda, so it is on today's agenda. Certainly a request of this nature is going to have a lot of different questions associated with it, and the basic idea was to have Mr. Schmidt come, and tonight is just to simply have a discussion on it, and I'll be writing down questions, and then after the discussion, we can have some. If there's board direction that's desired at that time, we would be able to focus there. And with that, I would recommend Mr. Schmidt being able to provide some sort of a discussion for your board.
And Mr. Schmidt, you're not, since you are on the agenda, you don't have to do the 3 minute.
Okay. Well, hopefully I won't take too much of your time. Kind of briefly, applicants, clients of mine, Charles Pratt, construction, his daughter Bev is here with us tonight, had approached me about looking at the development potential of property that he owns on Ontario Road near the PG&E Conference Center. And as I, actually I've been working on this project for quite a while, and I believe they've owned it for maybe 25 or 30 years. I
Excuse
worked
me.
On it before. And
one moment, please. I'm sorry, but if I can hear you in the front, I know the other people in the audience can hear you as well. So let's have a little respect for others. Thank you, sir.
That's sorry. Okay. I had worked on it in the past, and so it was brought forward to me. And before I even started thinking about it, I talked to them about water. Water is real important. We're in CSA 12 jurisdiction. I've talked to some of the water purveyors in that area about the idea of getting water. And then I thought about Oceano and the idea of possibly working out some type of arrangement with Oceano for water. The reason why I'm talking 7 acre feet is of a project that I worked on several years ago, I was able to get 20 lots on the property. So basically I'm saying 3 lots per acre foot, and that's where the 7 comes from. If something is able to be negotiated or worked out and it can't be 7 acre feet and it happens to be 2 or 3 or whatever it is, then that's going to dictate what the density of the project is going to be. So anyway, I talked to Pablo about it, and he was very helpful and talked to me about a lot of things that are going on in the area, and then requested that I write the letter, which I did. And so I'm here before you tonight with a recommendation to open up discussions with me and maybe form the ad hoc committee, and that we can discuss about...
And also there's, you know, which Pavo brought up, and how long of a term are they looking for? Are we talking forever? Is this in perpetuity, or is this for something that go on for 20 years? There's the delivery aspect of it. So anyway, I'll turn it over and see what issues you guys have spotted beforehand before we ask Dennis if he could hang on, not go too far. I haven't been involved in a situation like this before.
Certainly. And on this particular request, I wanted to make sure to get it on your board's agenda for general discussion. So I have not, you know, researched the depth of the issues that we would need to research if your board so desires. On LAFCO itself, I know of one alternative that would require LAFCO approval, and that is the alternative that, similar to this district, provides water service to properties within Arroyo Grande. Mm-hmm. And that is done, essentially, we are providing that supply, our supply to those properties, and they are as if they are our customers. If that type of an arrangement was agreeable to the county through County Service Area 12, then it would require LAFCO approval for sure, because that would be an out-of-service agreement. The idea that one water purveyor like Oceano CSD would provide water service within the boundaries of another municipality, that is clearly a LAFCO question, because they, for the most part, frown upon, you know, jurisdictions providing services. Well, with that said, county
services outside of their service area.
Yeah. Services in the boundaries of somebody else, of another entity. County Service Area 12, with that said, their water from Lopez is fully allocated by contracts to other agencies. So we know, to their subcontractors.
Okay.
So we know that their water supply is fully allocated and they don't have a resource currently. So perhaps then LAFCO would be open to that type of an analogy like what we have already working with Arroyo Grande.
Which means that if this goes to the service area 12, that the water that we would be committing would be Lopez water. And
I think that would be open for discussion, whether it was Lopez Water or State Water, or whether it's simply Oceano providing a supply of water out of whatever our water resources are. Under the other alternative, which would be simply a permanent sale of a water source from Oceano to perhaps County Service Area 12, that certainly then brings in the would require some sort of certainty associated with water supplies. Are there other water supplies that are currently on the property that are available but insufficient? There's also some state regulations or state laws that require at least 20 years of a supply that's available, and the details of those, though, would have to be addressed. So ultimately, the question of how long would have to be addressed to county planning in terms of what would they need in order for the proposal to move forward.
I also had a concern about who's going to pay for the research, legal, or staff time to see if this project's even feasible, or if it is feasible, if it doesn't happen. You know, how do we protect the ratepayers of Oceano from incurring an expense outside of our jurisdiction?
I think that, you know, to the extent that there's some questions that we should know anyhow, because whether it's Mr. Schmidt or somebody else who comes forward, there's some of the basic, like what would LAFCO's involvement be, if any, for a permanent transfer? That's an easy enough one for me to give LAFCO a call, and it builds our general body of knowledge, you know. But if we move into anything that's really specifically related to the proposal itself, then I think we would be asking the applicant for a reimbursement agreement in order to cover our costs.
And just let me add, too, is that we do provide an ongoing water source for the Christie. I think it's – I'm pretty sure it's called the Christie Project.
Canyon Crest.
Yeah, Canyon Crest,
excuse me. Okay. That's probably 8 miles up the canyon in Arroyo Grande Rural AG. So it's not like it would be the first time we were providing water outside the sphere of influence. We do have – that's the farthest one that I can think of. And then the rest are just clustered around the borderline.
That is correct.
Can I ask you a little bit about capacity, though?
Okay, if I might first, on the Canyon Crest transaction, I think that LAFCO would find a distinction between that and what's being discussed here. The idea is that that's not a precedent that would fit like a glove, because the Canyon Crest was previously developed, and when their land use approvals went forward, the belief at that point in time was that they had sufficient water on site. Mm-hmm. After the development happened and the homes were built, it was then learned that there was, in fact, not sufficient water on site to be somewhat more unique than the other ones. Okay. So there, we do have examples, but I don't think we should portray them as being, you know, perfect precedents.
Right. So they're not compatible. I just want to ask you, I'm looking at your map right here, sir. And I know that there's several projects going on in the Avila area. And so just to be clear, when I look at your map, I think, oh, that's the swimming pool, but it's not. So can you say we were going northbound on the 101 and we got off on San Luis Drive and we swung it around to the left heading towards Avila, where would your project be?
Probably about 300 feet south of the PG&E Convention Center.
On the
western side of Ontario Road.
Oh,
there.
Okay. So it's pretty really close to the freeway then.
Yeah, actually, kind of surprisingly, you know, one of the things that I first started working on the project long ago was in dealing with the county was visual resources. And so every time I drive by, I always try to look at the property. Actually, it's really not noticeable from the freeway as you drive by, kind of surprisingly. But, yeah, that's where it's located. So kind of midway between the PG&E and, let's say, where the Bob Jones Trail is, kind of halfway in between there.
And so my question would be back to Mr. Ogren. You knowing the waterways better than most, the line, do you know the route of the line?
The conveyance system that would be utilized is the Lopez Zone 3 system that then moves into the Avila Valley area, and County Service Area 12 has some of their pipes as well. County Service Area 12 uses both the Lopez conveyance system as well as some of their own internal piping. In terms of the capacity of those systems, that would be something then that basically the applicant would be responsible for confirming with the County of San Luis Obispo, because beyond our point of delivery, our turnout, where, you know, whether it's Lopez water or state water, our rights to that conveyance system stop at the Oceano turnout.
Correct.
So anything beyond that, the applicant would need to get a wheeling agreement from the county, and in that separate process, you know, they would have to do the engineering determinations on capacity.
And isn't it Mr. Wallace who is the general manager?
In the engineering or the management of County Service Area 12, that's County Public Works.
And you had contact and discussions with the CSDA, I mean the CSD in Avila?
Yeah, things have been extremely preliminary for me in thinking about this. Originally, when it started, I called Mark Hutchinson and asked him about, you know, where Lopez water line was, where was the CSA boundary, and just kind of, you know, exploring things. Then I spoke with Dean Benedix, who manages the Zone 12 area for the county. And then it was just kind of trying to get a feel to see if it was, you know, something that's feasible or not feasible. It was kind of where I really was at. And it seemed like there was opportunities. I had worked on a project up on Stagecoach Road on Rio Grande, in which I knew there was a wheeling agreement between Oceano and that project. And that the light just kind of came out of my head and said, okay, this, you know, let's see if this is feasible. And so, again, extremely preliminary. I do think it's something that is possible to do. I do see other relationships that are similar within the boundaries of the Lopez water and state water and CSA 12. So I think it's, it'll be some work to do, but I think it's feasible to do. And so, again, I just came to approach and see if the directors and the president would be interested in considering this. I'm well aware of the referendum. If we can get to a certain point, I kind of look at ourselves as we're kind of small players. We're not huge. And what we are looking for is water in perpetuity as much as possible. I mean, we need to provide the project water for a certain time, and I would say in perpetuity will be what it is.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Are there other questions?
No, go ahead, Jennifer. Did Ms. Blackburn have something?
Karen?
I remembered Karen was going to say something. He just answered my question.
This is a stupid question, but just to clarify this, the water itself would not be, it would be wheeled, it would be shared. There wouldn't be any real water carried up there. It would be the general water pipeline that gets water there from Lopez would then be tapped for them.
That's the water, yeah, it would come through the Lopez. It also has to be sufficient capacity that won't be interrupted. So that concept is when the engineers go through the analysis, it has to be capacity that exists 100% of the time. 24/7.
My opinion is, although I recognize that there may be some legal challenges that may even be fatal, given the referendum, and that we are a small water company, that we should sell water, and that this would not jeopardize development or delivery of water to the ratepayers of Oceano because of the small amounts. It's 7 acre feet, not 700 acre feet. And we use less than half of our entitlements every year. So of the 1,800 acre-feet, we've been using less than 900 acre-feet. So I would think that there's some value in pursuing this as long as there's not a cost to the people of Oceano to provide water to a wealthier community that that should not be on the backs of the people in Oceano.
Right.
I would kind of agree with it, but I'm not going to guarantee that when it comes to the final time, I'm not going to vote no, understanding the Oceano community's feeling about us selling water.
Yeah, and we don't want to be penalized for preparing for the future, and I always try to keep that in mind. I'd like to point out that the clock up and has lost its mind up there, so everybody has to rely on their own time.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody else have anything?
What happens next, then? Is that taken as board direction, then, to Upava to continue, or is that the board's consensus?
Do we need to take any action?
Maybe we can take public comment in a second.
Yeah, right.
And then my this is a policy issue, so as a policy issue, I'm, you know, refraining from any recommendations myself in terms of whether you want to consider the request. But in terms of the technical details and how it might move forward, certainly we can check with LAFCO in terms of the role that they might have there. That's easy enough. My other thought as we're going through the discussion is that because there would be multiple agencies involved to Grover through the Zone 3 system is very tight. And so I think that that's probably the best next step for the applicant is to work through with the county, see if there's truly a conveyance capacity there and see if it would be supported at the Zone 3 Advisory Committee.
Mr. Schmidt, has anybody talked to you about capacity and that the pipes, you know, sometimes they have space and sometimes they don't have space?
No, again, I haven't carried that far. I was really starting at the very beginning. Is it something that can be considered by the directors and the president? If the answer was to be no, then there would be no need for me to really chase it, you know, down that path. And so my goal tonight was to see if the district would consider this. One thing I want to say, though, in hearing the discussion, my mother, when growing up, you know, life's a two-way street, right? Mm-hmm. And and as we get into agreements, into contracts, we do things that are best for you and best for me. And sometimes we can agree and sometimes we can't agree, but that's fine. I mean, the idea is that we can get into the discussion and see where things lie from there. And it might be to the point where after we spend the money as and paying for staff time and going through this, it might not benefit us, you know? And so we might change our minds at that moment. But,
right,
you know, we need to kind of go down that path to find out.
Yeah. And so what I would suggest to you is to do the footwork a little bit. That's not very expensive, you know, and such as, you know, talking to the Zone 3 reps, the county, and working with them and see how you feel about it then. I don't think the board is ready to take a position on it by any means. Mm-hmm. You know, we really can't do that. And so I'd like you to maybe consider some of those things. And then as it materializes or as you have more information, we certainly would have more information as well. And we can keep coming back and visiting it.
Oh, I appreciate the direction. Thank you.
Certainly. And I'll take a public comment. Do you have something else you'd like to add?
Just to point that the Zone 3 capacity analysis has been engineered in the last few years. Water Systems Consultants did a pretty good capacity analysis. So, you know, at least that information is existing.
And Mr. Seitz is its legal counsel. It's interesting that we're talking about 7 acre feet. That is not a lot of water. Your system leaks that every month, and then some. The idea of a permanent water sale was shot down by your electorate by, I think it was 83% or 87% in 2012. But if, and I know there were problems with that initiative, and I believe at the time your board even asked the voters to vote no because it was such a mess. And what I have concern over is that if you are to ask Mr. Schmidt to do exploration or any kind of financial reimbursement of your district's costs associated with the investigation of this project, that they shouldn't have to pay for understanding the initiative and undoing the initiative, because that would be precedent setting that other sales could take place, and that's the district's initiative, and it's all messed up. I think everyone here understood that. County council made a ruling on it, etc. But I don't think that this applicant should bear the cost of undoing the initiative. They should cover the cost of, you know, any exploration at LAFCO or anywhere else. But that one is really on the district, because the ratepayers here implemented it, and it's confusing, and how to undo it, and whether it's challenged by those same ratepayers who put it in wouldn't be the Pratt's problem. So I hope you take that into consideration as you move forward.
Mr. Schmidt, let's just be very, very clear. Our board is not, asking you to look at the initiative. What we're asking you to do is just talk to the county, talk to Public Works, build a relationship with them, understand the capacity and how the water would move down into your area. Our personal initiative to not sell our water rights versus the water is an entirely different subject than this.
For that.
And so I have an understanding to a point, but if it means going to the voters and asking permission from them, I don't have a problem with that.
That's our responsibility. It's not your responsibility, sir, and that's what I'm trying to say, is okay. That is when it comes to the initiative, I think it's at some point we do have to lay it out, and we do have to talk to, the ratepayers, because it's about water rights.
President Lucy, if I might, I want to sort of make a couple points of clarification here. One is that the initiative requires voter approval for permanent sales of water. And there's no need that necessarily has to be undone. It's just simply that the voters had their initiative and said, if you're going to do a permanent sale, we want to be able to vote on it. County Council did not express an opinion that it was wrong. What County Council did is expressed an opinion that it may or may not be something that is legally enforceable, the initiative, because in County Council's mind, there is a certain number of questions as to the enforceability of the particular initiative. In my opinion, unless there was some, compelling reason to question that initiative, I just don't see it. I think that it's an initiative where the voters clearly said that, we want to have the ability to, vote on permanent sales. But to challenge that initiative, the district would have to spend a lot of legal fees and go to court in order to challenge the initiative, and I just don't think that would be cost-beneficial, in my opinion, as the general manager. So I don't think that there's any reason to believe that initiative needs to be undone. It's pretty straightforward to read, and it's simply the question that if anything moves forward, then the voters need to be posed the question. With respect to ultimately whose obligation it is to pay for that type of an election, I think that would be subject to future board consideration, because on the one hand, if it was solely to the benefit of a developer or a development project, then certainly there would be reason to say that the applicant should pay for that election. If, on the other hand, at some point in time in the future of asking voters anything, then we would be discussing, well, what is the question to the voters and who would be appropriate to bear that particular burden. But again, I don't think that there would be any reason that I would recommend spending legal costs on trying to undo an initiative despite, you know, county council's questions about its legal enforceability.
Right.
If somebody else wanted to challenge its legal enforceability, then, you know, they could pay those costs. But I just don't see it benefiting the district to question the initiative.
I think I have to agree with that, because the initiative was a knee-jerk reaction to the sale of 300 acre feet on a permanent basis. You know, and at the current time, we were actually we were in an agreement with Arroyo Grande for 100 acre feet per year, and I think that was a 5-year agreement. So the initiative was basically trying to stop people from kind of backdooring the water. And so I think the community came together very quickly and very strong and voiced our opinions.
Yeah. And I'm very sympathetic
so
to that.
7-acre feet was not the cause of the
yeah, I
situation.
Understand, but still, it's a, to me, I'm very sympathetic. The people have spoke what they intended, what they want to do. And I don't have a problem with, you know, if things go down the road and we get to that point, I, you know, let the people speak. I mean, again, I don't see us as a big player in this situation. I would rather just keep it narrowed into our project. If the board decides to do something that the general manager has decided about, you know, freeing up 25 or 50 for potential other people, that's fine. But for me, keep it simple and keep it focused in on us.
That's
great. Okay, thank
well,
you.
Well, it's thank been you, a sir. Pleasure hearing you tonight. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we definitely will keep you closely, you know, in the loop, so your time isn't wasted if people have true opposition or we find out more information.
Okay. Well, I'll carry on and I'll do some more work and I'll be in contact with Pablo and we'll go from there.
Thank you very much,
okay,
sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you,
sir. And then just to wrap up, President Lucy, in addition to following up with Mr. Schmidt, I'll also do the contacts with LAFCO in order to clarify what their role would be in different situations.
So you'll call Mr. Church?
Correct.
Okay. So that's his donation. Okay, moving right along.
We could be. I on this particular item, 10B, I have no comments to add to what is provided in the written staff report.
Okay. Let's roll. No written comments. No verbal comments.
Staff report speaks for itself.
Okay. And the audience has gotten, everybody has gotten a staff report?
Correct.
Okay. Any staff, what was, you just want to... And this is just for the... The one cease and desist?
It's for two.
Or for the both of them?
Both of them.
This is a single letter in response to the two cease and desist letters that came 5 days apart. And simply what the board needs to consider is whether or not it approves the sending of the response letter as attached. And if the board does, we will send it to the response letter to Ms. Tacker, who sent in the cease and desist letters.
I make a motion. We approve the sending of letters in regard to the cease and desist orders, re the Brown Act.
Only.
I'll second.
Okay. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion pending.
Pending. Call for a letter. Call for a vote.
Oh, sorry.
You have a motion
in
second.
I understand. I'm just waiting for my brain to catch up. Can you give us a roll call?
Who did first and who did second? First? Okay. So, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
No.
And President Lucy?
Yes.
So motion passes on a 3-1 vote. Item 10C. Also a very quick staff report. Again, it speaks for itself.
On item 10C, we did get some late correspondence from Mr. Jeff Edwards that I handed out to board members and also made it available. And on that particular study is currently being conducted, and certainly it would be my intent that once that document is an administrative draft, similar to the document that is on your agenda, that certainly we will also place that on your board's agenda for review and for comments. It just simply isn't prepared yet, so we can't put it on your agenda until it is prepared. So I'm not really, you know, getting the point of the letter that was submitted by Mr. Edwards, because, again, the administrative draft that does affect state water contractors, you know, has been prepared. So there's only a few, you know, pretty basic comments to provide on it. But at such point in time that the Sand District's feasibility study is in administrative draft form, we will also make sure to have that on your agenda.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments on this?
No.
I actually... Go ahead to the
front. Wait till, well, I want to wait till it's on.
Karen?
No.
When I read this, I was like, first of all, I think that we're doing our responsibility as to, you know, having an opinion on the Paso Robles groundwater basin. And I didn't understand why there was a comparison between us, you know, looking at what's happening in the North County and dealing with what the Sand District is doing, which is entirely different items. So other than controlling OCSD's agenda, I didn't see how they tie together.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the important point of this analysis on the Paso Basin not only applies to San Luis Obispo County, but it applies to a lot of other areas in the state as well. And that is, as we're seeing stress on inland areas and where water is passing through pipelines through those inland areas and then making it to coastal communities,
yeah,
I think we'll see more and more concepts of this nature where the inland areas will say, look, we'll pay for something on the coast in order to meet your needs if that water is passing by us, if we can utilize that water. And certainly as we're seeing things like desalinization developing more and more in Southern California, that is something that's going to be proposed more, you know, in certain areas. I don't really anticipate it being as proposed here as quickly. That's why this is focusing in on recycle water options. But again, the very basic concept I think is good for the county to include in the report, because I do believe that it's something that's going to be considered more and more.
Considering expanding the scope of work for that district and trying to address some more of the drought effects by considering doing.
Well, the two priorities need to be for the sanitation district, which, you know, they're talking about sanitation district in here, that the priorities need to be the recycled water and redundancy. Those need to be the priorities. If you look back over the last couple years and the spectacular turnaround that has happened at the sanitation district, it's surprising that this kind of vitriol is still being generated. You know, frankly.
Well, and if I might, since, you know, we did get the letter from Mr. Edwards, I think there's a little bit of a comparison and contrast in terms of our relationship with the sanitation district, because as we mentioned before, it's a separate legal entity. And when the sanitation district right now is grappling with some of their administrative issues and some of the things that happened in the past and everything, that's not directly pertaining to, like, water resource management associated with how are we going to develop a reliable long-term source of supply for the five cities area. And so there's the one hand, I understand if there's an administrative need to look at past history, but as an administrator for Oceano Community Services District, that I don't think is really something that would be in my purview. With respect to resource management, whether it's water resources or recycling, you can't draw the boundaries between agencies because, you know, our reliability of water supplies certainly in part hinges on the reliability of water supplies for Grover and Arroyo Grande and our other neighboring communities. So
you know, the idea of getting water supply, recycled water issues on your board's agenda so that we can see how those resource issues are being managed and moved forward. Certainly, Oceano CSD has a very important vested interest on that. But when it comes to administrative type of issues in past history, I think that that's for the sanitation district, you know, to work through to the deal that they, to the degree that they believe is appropriate.
That's right. So as we move down this road, you know, I think that, you know, all of us have a very strong, strong loyalty to Oceano and Halcyon, and we advocate to tell we can't advocate anymore, but in our minds, I always consider thinking of a sanitized report.
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. So when the Sand District report is out and they're requesting input, of course, Oceano will have a strong voice.
Well, you know, my concern, though, my initial concern is that the discussion here is talking about state water, and that's obviously the state water that's piped through North County. Mm-hmm. The only entities that are getting state water, of course, in South County here is what, us and Pismo?
Correct.
And so that basically would infringe upon Oceano's existing water supply. I understand that they're talking about switching it. Extrapolating this out, it may be a discussion of switching it. But I am pretty leery on monies that have been invested by our community and the people that came before us to give up a water source.
And certainly that's why I pointed out some complications with the idea. I also pointed out in the comments that it's really not an exchange per se, because they wouldn't be developing a new source of supply for us. So pointed that out. And then in terms of South County agencies, there's a number of smaller purveyors, the San Miguelito Mutual Water Company, Avila Beach CSD gets some. I guess Morro Bay is south of the grade, although regionally we consider them to be on the north coast. But the preponderance of state water does come south of the grade. But with those, I think that, you know, in this type of a report, since it's not a plan document, it's a very broad-brushed type of, water supply options for the Paso Basin. And if they ever wanted to pursue this, there would be a lot more work. The report also clearly identifies that the superior alternative for recycled water is working with the city of Paso Robles. So I think that, you know, I developed the comments in a very general context, and the recommendation is to simply approve or edit and approve so that we can pass them on to the County of San Luis Obispo.
I know this is a huge question. Why not increase capacity and deliver state water to North County?
How are you going to make the pipe bigger?
Increase capacity.
Are you going to put a bigger pipe in?
Or another pipe, I don't know.
Okay, so certainly that's also been...
What water?
Well, that's assuming deliveries of state water, of course, come through, but...
So the major capacity restrictions in the state water conveyance system is downstream and whatnot, but it's really south of Colonial Pass. So there is a significant restriction with respect to treated water. Now, with respect to untreated water, the pipeline that gets into the county and to Colonial Pass is sufficiently large in order to bring in the county's entire excess allocation. And so one of the concepts that the county has studied before is at that point do a second pipeline to North County that is untreated water, and then make untreated water available. Part of that was done through a banking feasibility study. So there is some opportunities to increase pipeline capacity south of Colonial Pass, but more likely the feasible side of that would be untreated water that would then solely be used in the benefit of North County. But the cost of doing another parallel treated pipeline project, at least at this point in time, would appear to be prohibitively expensive.
Okay.
I have one comment. It seems to me that we're talking about something that probably can't happen, because it seems to me by the time Paso Robles would get enough money to fund our recycled facility, we would already need that water ourselves, because we don't have that much water to give. I mean, I'm looking at the whole North County Management Association. We don't have any water to give away. And we certainly will need more. We'll need our own recycled water. We'll need more. We'll need to generate more water for our own uses. And so there's not going to be a trade if they're not developing new water sources for us.
Yeah, I agree. And along those lines, I think that's also why the individuals who prepared the report consider this option to be relatively lower priority. And in the general idea is, if there is something that's more significant and more feasible, I think it might work with Morro Bay's existing desalinization plant as opposed to, you know, recycle facilities down here.
Yeah.
But as a conceptual plan that the county is putting together, I think it's good to put the concepts in there and to address them and for us to comment on them.
Yeah.
Because then that helps people who are reading it understand that, you know, it's been looked at by the broader audience within the county.
Yeah. Great. More good work for engineers.
Okay.
Another report to file.
Yes.
Right. Jennifer, do you have anything to offer tonight or have anything you want?
I think there's an element of some creativity on water that's being, you know, thought through in this analysis.
What I'm curious to know is if scalping facility is a derogatory term or there actually is a term called scalping for facilities.
Because that report's not on the agenda, I'm going to refrain until such time as it's prepared and I have an ability to read it.
Oh, I thought that one was on the agenda.
No, just to come in.
Oh, just so
we need action on this.
My recommendation is, yeah, to approve the comments so that we can submit them to the county.
I so move.
I'll second. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that we approve. Yeah.
I so move that we authorize the executive director manager to send these comments on the recycled water supply options for the Paso Basin to the county.
I will still second.
So Vice President White?
Yeah.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
No.
And President Lucy?
Yes.
I think it should be brought up at all.
Okay, and then I have a question for legal counsel. In our packet, and this certainly was posted, there's other pieces of paper that aren't attached to a particular item, but what do you want us to do?
You're talking about items specifically, as in Mr. Edwards?
It's derogatory. I guess it was a message that was left in
the language.
Shocking. I've never said such a word.
Become a part of, if it's been a part of discussion items tonight, we'll just attach it to the minutes.
Okay, so this is, we received this message, and we're going to file this message, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So any late received correspondence, we're posting to the website. Our goal is to have it posted within 48 hours together with a draft of the minutes. So that's what we will do.
Okay. You know, I heard this really great little story. I'll tell you is that there used to be a gentleman. He used to attend the meetings all the time before my time. And somebody had said this particular word at the diocese, and everybody went, oh. That was before AGP, and the demand for a formal something, I don't know.
We already did that.
We're done with that, too, as
so,
well.
Yeah.
No, that we didn't
move to
do
11.
That.
Yes, we did.
No, those were cease and desist.
We're on item 11C now?
Yes. Correct.
Or 11, sorry, 11. No C.
But the formal...
Yeah, I voted. I made.
But the formal... No, was not included in that, Karen.
We talked about the cease and desist.
Only?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, I
know what you're talking about now. Sorry.
Okay. We're all on the same page, believe it or not. Okay, yep. Item number 11. We're done, right?
We scheduled this as a hearing item. And in January, I brought forward to your board a revised audit program for the sanitary sewer management plan, because in 2012 when the SSMP audit was conducted. Staff at that time recognized the need to modify the audit, so I brought it to your board in advance. And so the attachment today to item number 11 is the 2014 internal audit of the SSMP. And because, as noted in January and again tonight, we note a number of issues of non-compliance with the SSMP. Even though it's an internal audit, one of the requirements of SSMP is public participation. So knowing that there are some issues of non-compliance, I thought it was important to put it on the agenda, to have it duly noticed in accordance with the Brown Act, and to make sure that the public had an opportunity to come and speak if there is any significant concerns. In general, what I want to make sure that the public, especially in the listening audience, understands is that Tony and the crews are going out there. They're doing the jetting. The sanitation district is doing the fats, oil, and grease inspection program. That physically, in the ground, they're doing what they need to be doing. Tony had mentioned that we had no SSOs, which are sanitary sewer overflows, in the since the last meeting. And in fact, during this audit period, we had no SSOs on our system itself. There have been some overflows on private laterals and private property. Those are not reportable incidences for us. And so I feel, very confident that the crews are doing what they need to be doing in the field. And so the issue, so within the internal audit itself, that, sort of generally characterizes the issues of concern, we have to bring the SSMP for its five-year update, and we've got that scheduled for April. And so I've noted in this internal audit a number of different areas where we'll be updating the SSMP. And then in terms of procedures and that documentation, we'll have that all cleaned up by June 30th so that we enter into the new fiscal year with a program that's going to fully meet the regulatory requirements.
I thought this was a very interesting, comprehensive report of kind of where we are and where we aren't. And it was just amazing all the requirements we have to meet.
Mm-hmm. They are very detail-oriented, and I want to make sure to thank Tony, because, as you'll note, the staff report really came from both me and Tony, because we worked, really closely together in reviewing it. I also want to thank John Clemens and Mike and Fanny with the Sanitation District, because they came in and participated in the internal audit as well.
Yeah.
And so it was a good, interagency effort. But certainly the regulations are very detail-oriented, and one of the things that it's important to understand is that those agencies that are having sanitary sewer overflow problems, they're really going to get hit hard by the regulators if they don't have their documentation in control. One of the things that's good about our collection system is that, prior engineering analysis has indicated that, we have very good capacity. Part of the reason we have very good capacity is because our collection system feeds into the trunk lines of the sanitation district in numerous different areas. So it's a well-designed and it's a well-operated collection system. Again, the crews and what's on the field is going very well, but we certainly want to clean up the paperwork, because if we ever do have a problem, the lack of paperwork is going to be very problematic if we ever do have an actual overflow. So good job in the field, work to be done in the office.
We have the big guns doing it.
It looks like a lot of work.
Yeah, it does.
A lot of knowledge is contained in this.
Yeah, the the one thing that's
thank you.
I do have a question about it though. Before we receive it,
okay. Then I'm going to ask Karen to go, because I have to use the little girl's room. Excuse me.
Okay. Oh.
I thought we were going to be done by 8.
We're close.
On this?
Wait, yeah. So, just
Jennifer.
I just had a question about in element 4, the operations and maintenance. It mentions the inclusion of a capital.
Can you refer me to page number?
Page 10 of 25. So 75 of 90. Sorry.
I'm there.
Okay. Because I know that, and you made a comment in the staff report or in the report, that we will be getting to this, but it will be after the 15 report is due. So I'm just curious if we will leave in the prior included capital improvement plan, which I believe is somewhat outdated, or if we'll just include the new one when we have it, or how.
Okay. As always, Director Blackburn, very astute question. The idea in updating the SSMP is really not to include a specific capital improvement plan in the SSMP, but instead is to craft in the SSMP that the sanitary sewer, that the CIP program required by the SSMP will be evaluated by your board every budget cycle. And so these are some of the recommendations that came through in a general sense from the 2012 audit as well, is that the SSMP is most efficiently done when it identifies how you're going to accomplish different tasks. So when it comes to budgeting issues like a capital improvement plan, that's what we do during the budget cycle. And so the SSMP should point and say, during the annual budget cycle, the board shall consider the sanitary sewer CIP and make adjustments as appropriate. Okay. And that way, that prevents regulatory documents like SSMPs from becoming stale the year after they're adopted.
Okay. And it becomes a living document. It can move forward.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I apologize for stepping away. I just thought we would make it in 20 minutes.
I'm sorry for talking so much.
Talk to the chair.
I've actually had a request from the audience because we have kind of jumped around. Are we done with this topic now?
Well, we took on it, but I would be happy to listen to someone's comment.
I don't think that there's.
I mean, we took action on it. We voted for it. We authorized sending it.
Right.
I don't see any problem in having public comment on the item if we missed it, and we'll address it.
We'll address it in the minutes that public comment was taken on 10B as well.
Well, I want to make sure that we clarify that public comment, the opportunity for public comment was provided prior to your board's consideration of 10B. The fact that your board has the discretion to allow people to comment during the course of the meeting is a separate issue, but we did provide the opportunity for public comment.
Yeah, we did.
Prior,
but, sometimes we all get confused, and I certainly have been confused tonight too. But we can't change our recommendation.
Has, you have the discretion to take public comment, additional public comment, because it was pending this time.
Okay. So, if nobody minds, we're going to do that discretion.
We have completed 11.
I think the appropriate before moving back is to make sure to offer public comment on item number 11.
Okay, and do we need to have this come back to the board in about 90 days or
no,
6 months?
No, the requirement for the internal audit is that it just be done and we receive, and that, to just receive and file is fine.
All right, I just wanted to make sure that we weren't skipping over old business because then it would be old. Okay. Let's do public comment. Anything on the agenda?
Well, first, item 11, public comment.
Oh, item 11, public comment.
Hearing none.
Hearing none, public comment.
I'm sorry, I missed the opportunity.
And who are you, ma'am?
I'm sorry, Linda Austin. I'm an Oceano resident. And I picked up the packet here, and I just want to make a comment. I'm not asking you to change what you did, but as an Oceano citizen, a ratepayer, taxpayer, pays a lot of money, I'm appalled, and I want to know what it costs us, ratepayers in Oceano, for all this, for the cease and desist, for what it costs the report. What it costs for the lawyer, because these things are happening all the time, and the people that do them are talking about the night. So I'm just, if the people in Oceano are not happy with you, they would be here. They would be up here talking, but they're not here because they're happy with you. And all we have is these people that are upsetting the meetings every time. And then I read all this where they call the attorney has to do this. We have to write these silly, stupid letters. And then they have to listen to her foul mouth, too. And I just wanted to state that on the record for.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Austin.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. And I know that we're planning another Brown Act training, but I think a cost analysis of what it costs us to comply with the Brown Act and then to comply with the extremist.
Well, it's not comply. It's to deal with the extreme and these meritless letters that we've gotten as laid out in the staff report.
The cost to the ratepayers. Because I don't know when that, and it's not on the agenda, so we can't discuss it at length except for that we're going to put it on the agenda.
And President Lucy, I at the direction of the board, I did try to make clear in the staff report that the board is, it is my opinion as district legal counsel, that there's been no violation of the Brown Act that occurred at all anyway, mm-hmm. but the board made a decision in the interest of the ratepayers to just simply dismiss this in the cheapest, easiest way possible in regards to breaking down expenses related to particular items or this type of thing. We can certainly do that as far as isolating those portions of the bills into a different matter for the district. We'd have general matters and then Brown Act issues or something like that, however the board would want to label that.
Okay.
Well, would that cost us more money to break the cost down?
No.
Just an itemization.
It's just dropping legal entries into instead of general matters into a separate file so the board and the public could see how they break down an allocation.
I think that would be really beneficial to the community because I've gotten asked this question quite a bit, and I've also got it asked about other districts and what's the cost been to other districts and what's the cost been to other cities and I think that there's a snowball effect happening, and it's hurting the ratepayers.
It does add up.
But there's got to be, you know, something to balance justice. I understand transparency. I'm right there.
But I don't know.
Well, okay. I will be aware of that, and I'll be prepared to dice that information out for the board as requested.
It would be nice to have at the time we are taking action on these decisions.
Of course, I understand. I will do that.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And maybe other cities and jurisdictions will follow our lead. Okay, on that note, utility items? Hearing none? None? We're done with closed session.
We didn't have one.
That's we just did it. And any received written communication?
No received written. The only late received written communication was covered as part of 10C.
Mr. Edwards.
His email, yes.
Mr. Edwards what?
His email. That was the late received correspondence that was in, you know, discussed during item 10C.
The scalping. Yeah. Okay. There's so much written correspondence from Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker. You have to, you know, tell me which one. Okay. So now I wanted to ask you, since we're under written communication, does that include written communication that directors get?
As discussed previously, when I get written communication, those items that I'm forwarding to your board for the agenda are the items that either pertain to an agenda item or which may reasonably be expected to be on a future agenda item. So, for example, the correspondence from Dennis Smith with Granite Ridge Engineering we received at the last meeting, mm-hmm. and that was foreseeable that it would be something your board may want to consider as an agenda item. So I put it into written communications, and in fact, during future agenda items, your board did direct that it be on a future agenda. So that's really the focus of when I get different correspondence as to what we move forward onto the agenda is that does it either pertain to an existing agenda item or is it reasonably foreseeable that it will be a future agenda item?
Okay. So written communication is really narrowed down to...
Agendized type of items. That's right.
Okay.
Versus, for example, you know, we get correspondence from the Special Districts Association on future, you know, conferences and stuff. All very important. Those get passed on to your board directly, but they don't really pertain to agenda items.
Because I used to get, you know, stuff.
This is what is happening, and ask that it be forwarded on. Because that way, if we have a question as to whether or not it's a transmittal of just data and information versus if it's something that's more of a policy discussion, if it's sent to me, then I have the opportunity to review it with legal counsel and make sure that the transmittal of the information to all the board members is appropriate, because it's, you know, I think that it's important that the public understands. This district's very serious about compliance with the Brown Act. And so even when I transmit information to board members, I do it through blind copies so that it doesn't give board members the opportunity, you know, to hit reply all and accidentally, you know, create a Brown Act issue. So we follow very good protocol in making sure that we're in compliance with the Brown Act. And if any individual board members get correspondence that they want to share, again, the recommendation is to send it to me so that if there's any questions, I can make sure to consult with legal counsel.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. And what I've experienced in the past is when I've gotten these private to just me as a director or as a commissioner, whatever role I was in at the time, it was to actually try to separate me from the collaborative effort that I was belonged to via this communication correspondence just to me. You know, so I just decided early on that I would always forward everything to the general manager and that the appropriate channels would be taken, even though it was to me. So on that note.
So we've kind of moved into the future agenda
items.
That's
right.
Because there is the, you know, there was this question on, my recommendation is I understand that legal counsel provided a PowerPoint presentation last year on the Brown Act. We have a number of things that we're required to do every year or every other year, whether it's ethics training or discriminatory harassment prevention training, and some things staff has to do and other training efforts your board has to do. So I think it's a good idea, because of the seriousness that we have in complying with the Brown Act, that we do the presentation on the Brown Act again at the next meeting, and we just, it's a refresher. So I would recommend that we have that on the next. Also, we're in the middle of the Prop 218 process. I've gotten a couple questions in, from individuals in the public, and I think that
I don't know that 218 is a increase, or it's up before the voters to consider a rate change.
It's notice to property owners and tenants, and so it's a protest hearing as opposed to a vote. And so we can, you know, discuss those different issues. And I guess the most immediate one that I've been received questions on is there's a San Juan Capistrano legal case that's moving forward. And so legal counsel and I are going to look at that, and we can do a little bit of a comparison between the questions in that case versus what we're doing in Oceano. Because there's always the chance that someone's going to speculate that, oh, because of San Juan Capistrano, you know, Oceano is going down a dangerous path. And certainly, based on my review of San Juan Capistrano, I don't believe that to be the case. But for legal counsel and I to sit down and look at that and to talk about it and to compare it to, you know, what we've proposed is, I think, a good effort to help, with the education and the outreach efforts overall.
And the reason why I said that is because we can't assume that everybody knows what Prop 218 really means. It's kind of a code, or, you know, it's like Form 700, or it's just people need to kind of, as we move into this one, you know, just let the public know what 218 means.
And so in addition to, you know, some of the questions or comments that I've had from the public, if board members themselves have any individual comments or questions, again, feel free to email them to me, because then legal counsel and I can address those and make those part of a Prop 218 update as well on future agenda items.
Yeah. Great.
Other than that, so April 14th is scheduled for the SSMP update, Sanitary Sewer
SSMP.
Management Plan. Yeah, Sewer System Management Plan.
Okay.
April 20th is the special meeting that's been scheduled for the hearing on the Prop 218 process. We have an appeal of a leak determination.
Can you say 1 second? The meeting on April 20th, will that be here at the district?
That is correct. Yeah, that's going to be your protest hearing on the Prop 218. Separately, on April 11th, on Saturday, April 11th, we've scheduled the depot to sort of do an open house and town hall meeting for the public to have opportunity to come and ask questions. But that's not a board meeting in terms of agenda as well.
Is there any board members who want anything added to the agenda? So we're going to continually talk about Proposition 218 so everybody feels fully informed. The last regularly scheduled meeting, we laid it out, tried to introduce it, and tried to update people. The special meeting was really to actually vote.
To move forward, correct.
To move forward.
Yes,
and
there's
so
been...
now we're moving into the meeting on 411, which is at?
At the depot.
At the Oceana
Depot,
which is directly across the street.
That's the open house, yes.
And well, that's...
And I think that's an important point, too, because the special meeting to kick off the formal process was predated by Finance Committee workshops and deliberations, and were also predated by your board's workshops. So there was a lot of work that went into the efforts even before the special meeting.
And I have to applaud staff and the board members who oversee the Finance Committee for, you know, working really good together and bringing everybody's interests into the fold. Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of busy meetings coming up.
Yeah. So we got a meeting, an open house on April 11th. What are the times on that, sir?
We were shooting 10 to 3, I believe. Is
10 to 3 at the Oceano Depot. And then we have another hearing here in this room on April 20th, correct?
Correct.
And which time is that meeting?
That will be a 6:30 meeting.
Okay, so 6:30
p.m.
Concurrently with, it would be at the same time this scheduled meeting.
Yeah, it's a Monday, so that's a special meeting, but at 6:30, which is the normal hour of the evening that your board meets.
Okay, great. Any questions anybody has?
Yeah, a little clarification on that Saturday open house. Is there any conflict with the Brown Act as far as members attending that or participating in it? Or?
Well, before that, we will certainly have legal counsel give us some guidelines. The most important thing is to make sure that you're not deliberating. But one of the options is to sort of have different shifts. You know, if two of your board members come during certain hours and then other board members come during other hours, then that will even eliminate the perception of any Brown Act concerns. So,
yeah, because I'd like...
You'll know what hours you're going to be there.
Be fine.
I think that would be a pretty clean approach.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ogren, is it possible that, and I know that that some of the logistical information be put in Spanish as well?
Yeah, so Celia did translate the notice that went out to all the property owners. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And that's been posted to the web as well.
Do you use Babelfish? Oh, that's a great program.
She used to bring.
Is that a translating program?
Yes, it is. Oh.
Well, I bet you it's not as fast and efficient as Celia is.
No, it's not as good as Celia, but, you know, it's good, though.
And that's the difference between a store-bought cake and a homemade cake.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just went through the future hearing items.
Correct.
Okay, do we have any announcements? Does anybody have any announcements? I do. That's why I asked.
I don't.
Okay, so, you know, we have a wonderful community center in Oceano, and it's been in place. It's at 1580 Railroad Street.
Senior Center.
Senior Center. What did I say?
Community Center.
Oh, sorry.
We got a great one of those.
Similar. Yeah, we have one of those up on the hill. We've never seen it, but we've heard of it. So anyway, the Central Coast Senior Center is holding their 25th anniversary celebration. And it is March 14th from 11 to 3. And they're going to have lunch, and they're going to have a bake sale, my favorite, and some live entertainment. So I think it's a good time for all of us to come and support the Senior Center. I know that they do a lot of meals out of there. I know a lot of people really kind of lean on the Senior Center to, in times when they need a backup, they have a place to fall back on if they're alone, or just a place to come together. So if the community has time, I really recommend you stop in. I definitely will be there to support it because I loved baked goods. So and on that note,
me too.
So
never met a piece of cake I didn't like.
Yeah, right. Never had a cookie I didn't like,
or a croissant
or brownies. No,
not those kind.
So on that note, is there anything else that we would like to do, say? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I so move.
Oh,